She dressed him in finely embroidered silks, and adorned him with so many lucky amulets of gold and jade that Ming Jia clinked everywhere he walked, weighed down with the burden of good fortune. The palace servants liked to joke that they could always hear Ming Jia before they saw him. Na Jia wanted to make Ming Jia stop to remove his jewelry now, worried it might drag him down under waves that already came up to his chest. But Ming Jia charged forward like he was weightless.
"We're stopping here,"
Na Jia said. They'd gotten closer to the grottos than they had ever been in their lives. The cave mouths were so dark inside that Na Jia couldn't see more than 2 feet past the entrances. But their walls looked beautifully smooth, glimmering with a million different colors like fish scales.
"Look,"
Ming Jia pointed at something in the water.
"It's Father's cloak."
Na Jia frowned.
"What's Father's cloak doing at the bottom of the river?"
Yet the heavy garment lying half buried in the sand was undeniably Yin Vaisra's. Na Jia could see the crest of the dragon embroidered in silver thread against the rich cerulean blue dye that only members of the House of Yin were permitted to wear. Ming Jia pointed to the closest grotto.
"It came from in there."
An inexplicable, chilly dread crept through Na Jia's veins.
"Ming Jia, get away from there!"
"Why?"
Ming Jia, stubborn and fearless, waded closer to the cave. The water began to ripple. Na Jia reached out to pull his brother back.
"Ming Jia, wait!"
Something enormous burst out of the water. Na Jia saw a huge, dark shape. Something muscled and coiled like a serpent, before a massive wave rose above him and slammed him face down into the water. The river shouldn't have been deep. The water had only come up to Na Jia's waist and Ming Jia's shoulders, had only been getting shallower the closer they moved to the grotto. But when Na Jia opened his eyes underwater, the surface seemed miles away. And the bottom of the grotto seemed as vast as the palace of Arlong itself. He saw a pale green light shining from the grotto floor. He saw faces, beautiful, but eyeless. Human faces embedded in the sand and coral, and an endless mosaic studded with silver coins, porcelain vases, and golden ingots. A bed of treasures that stretched on and on into the grotto as far as the light went. He saw a blink of movement, dark against the light, that disappeared as quickly as it came. Something was wrong with the water here. Something had stretched and altered its dimensions. What should have been shallow and bright was deep. Deep, dark, and terribly, hypnotically quiet. Through the silence, Na Jia heard the faint sound of his brother screaming. He kicked frantically for the surface. It seemed miles away. When at last he emerged from the water, the shallows were mere shallows again. Na Jia wiped the river water from his eyes, gasping.
"Ming Jia!"
His brother was gone. Crimson streaks stained the river. Some of the streaks were solid, lumpy masses. Na Jia knew what they were.
"Ming Jia."
The waters were quiet. Na Jia stumbled to his knees and retched. Vomit mixed into blood-stained water. He heard a clink against the rocks. He looked down and saw a golden anklet. Then he saw a dark shape rising before the grottos, and heard a voice that came from nowhere and vibrated his very bones.
"Hello, little one," Na Jia screamed.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Dawn saw the petrel sail through swirling mist into the port city of Adlaga. Shattered by a storm of Federation soldiers during the Third Poppy War, port security still hadn't recovered and was almost non-existent, especially for a supply ship flying militia colors.